And we're just on a different news series this morning. Yep, you can take it all the way there. And we completed the series on angels. And as we look at this new series, I want to look at the practical issues of Christian life. I believe I may have covered that series before. If that is, we have covered one, then this will be series two. And practical issues of Christian life. Sometimes we forget what we are supposed to be. Of course, most people are praying, what is God's will for my life? And some of us are discovering God's will for life. Some of us are experiencing a part of God's will for life. And you see, if a person is called to the full-time ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or service of the fivefold in any way, remember, full-time ministry doesn't just include fivefold. Full-time ministry includes apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and those who serve under them full-time to aid them and to be assistants to them or to serve in administration, any role under them, those would be full-time ministry. And because God uses people in different capacities. And then sometimes God called full-time ministries to be the second man or the third man or woman to the fivefold ministry. So for example, if a church is about 10,000 members, obviously you don't expect one pastor to be running around. There'd be probably hundreds of pastors and hundreds of lots of deacons and elders, which are also pastoral ministry. And some people are called to the front line, pioneering. Some people are called to be the second fiddle or second man or third fiddle. And remember this, it's as hard to be the second fiddler as it is to be the first fiddler. It is as tough because all the time you're under the shadow of that person and your entire life may be serving under that person. And in this life, you may not even get much recognition while the other first fiddler get all the recognition. But it doesn't matter because we're not after recognition in this life. But in heaven, recognition is given to everyone. And but it's important for us to realize that when a person is called to the full-time ministry, that's not their first call. So what's their first call? First call is to be like Jesus. And the ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers, or whatever, is part of the power ministries or the fivefold ministry of Jesus coming forth anyway. In Ephesians 4 verse 11 and 12, it says he ascended and he gave gifts to men. And Jesus was an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. So he was just giving a part of his ministry. So our first call is always to be like Jesus. And even if we're not called to the full-time ministry, we are called to a business call or professional call or to health ministry in some way. And some people like the background work, it doesn't matter. Or we are just being faithful in your home, faithful as a housewife, or faithful, you know, in every way. Your first call is still to be like Jesus. But many times we forget that. An evangelist could be so busy trying to evangelize, he become very unchristlike in his approach, in his methods. Or someone could be so eager trying to get everything right, or a businessman could be so busy trying to get all their things done, but he forgot what's the purpose of his life. Not just being a businessman, but being Christ-like. And in the business world, being a blessing to the kingdom of God and to all around him. So we forget this main thing of what it is to be Christ-like. And look at whatever place you are in, whether you are in a little place being faithful or you're in a prominent place with responsibilities to thousands, look at your position in this way. You're called to be Christ-like where you are. And it's not just working out your call or working out your position. While working them out, you have to do it in as Christ-like a manner as possible. Because you are called to be like Jesus. And so along the way of becoming like Jesus, or allowing Jesus, another way to put it, allowing Jesus in us to live through us. After all, no one can be like Jesus. He has to take Jesus himself in us to be like him. But allowing Jesus to flow through us, we look at some practical issues of this life, or how people make decisions, or how people do things. So let's look at some of them here. And for today, we look at the different voices that people use to make their decisions, or to base their life by. And let's look at the book of Kings. Yes, the book of Kings. And I probably prefer Chronicles. So let's look at Kings first, because they tell the same story. In 1 Kings. First Kings, the story of Solomon's son. So David and Solomon build the kingdom of God, and Solomon died, and he was not as faithful as David. Well, we see here in chapter 12 of 1 Kings. In chapter 12 of 1 Kings, Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. Many people know the son of David, Solomon, but they don't know Solomon's son. And I can understand that, because he's more infamous than famous. Infamous. Chapter 12, 1 Kings. Rehoboam. And what we want to look at is here the contrast. The voice, when you make a decision in this life, in the things that we do, in the practical issues of life, you always have this contrast. The voice of experience versus the voice of inexperience. The voice of experience versus the voice of inexperience. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it. He was still in Egypt. He was in exile running from Solomon, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt. Then they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you." So the people came to Rehoboam and it says, "Look, your father Solomon, he put such a heavy task on all of us, and everyone saw the outward glory, but internally there was a lot of hardship that the people were going through." And says, "Lighten this load and we will serve you." And Rehoboam said in verse 5, "Depart for 3 days, then come back to me." And the people departed. And verse 6, Rehoboam, King Rehoboam, consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" They spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to these people today, and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young man who had grown up with him, his peers, his old friendship, his buddies, who stood before him. And he said to them, "What advice do you give? How should we answer these people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" Then the young man who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you should speak to these people who have spoken to you, saying, 'Your father make our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us, then you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with scourges. Actually, the word say scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had directed, saying, come back to me the third day. Then the king answered the people roughly, rejected the advice which the elders had given him, and he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father make your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastise you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And the king did not listen to the people, and the Lord permitted these things, of course, but still there was a free will, there was a decision. That one decision changed the whole course of the history of the Israelite kingdom. The one important decision that he has to make in his life, a decision that will make or break the entire kingdom and his own kingship. And in making that decision, life is made up of decisions. Some of us make decisions every day. Some of us make it weekly. Some of us make it monthly. Decisions have to be made in our lives all the time. How do we make our decisions? Now, all of us will go very pseudo-spiritual, super-spiritual, and hyper-spiritual and say, we pray, we fast, we seek the Lord, we want to hear the Lord's voice. Yes, I agree, hearing the Lord. But besides hearing the Lord, practical Christianity is such that there are many other things that you can do that is involved in hearing God's voice. Unless you think that you're perfect. You need nobody else. But you, God, and that's it. No, of course, nobody is that way. Nobody is that way. And many mistakes have been made by people because they think that they can do everything by themselves with God. Of course, if you're the only one who knows God in the whole world, it's different. But there are thousands of others who knows God too. Not in the same way you do. But I'm sure they're hearing God too. And maybe you think you're Elijah. Oh, I'm Elijah. There's no one else but me. If I die, there's no more witness. And God says, by the way, there's 7,000 others. Elijah said, I'm the only one, the only one. You're not the only one. 7,000 others who have not bowed their knee to Baal, nor compromise. So there are many out there who hear God's voice. And so in the matter of decision making, we have, number one, the voice of experience versus the voice of inexperience. And of course, when we put out the voice of inexperience, everybody say, yeah, of course we will never hear that voice of inexperience. Maybe I should say versus the voice of buddy friendship. They say, oh, okay. But the only problem with that is that those people have entirely no knowledge of how to run a kingdom. But yet people are making decisions on that all the time. Non-charismatic churches are making decisions on whether to speak in tongues or not to allow tongues when none of them spoke in tongues. That's happening all the time. People are making doctrinal decisions without experiencing what they are making a decision about. And in life, many people want to do something that they have no experience in, but because we got a bright idea. Now, we were not arguing with whether you got bright ideas or not. I'm sure King Solomon and his buddies had a lot of bright... Rehoboam and his buddies had a lot of bright ideas. Everyone has ideas. Everyone has an opinion. Which is right. The voice of experience. Of course, we're not talking about what kind of experience. Experience in the particular area where your decision has to be made. If you want to make a decision on buying a car, You want to find out from someone who knows about cars. If you want to make a decision on a computer, you ask someone who knows a computer.